I think that are the biggest victims in our society.
If I open your fucking voice note. Hello? Oh. Hello? Oh, is this working? Okay. oh man, I forgot. Tomorrow, a bunch of us are probably gonna go out, to eat at, like, I think it was, like, 8 o'clock, and we were wondering, did you want to drive? Just stop! What does texting poorly mean? Like, just not reading. Texting is, like, social interactions. Still fail it. If somebody's like, hey, sorry for the late response, my dog died, I love them so much, you know? And then, like, your response is like, oh, sorry. What are you up to? Do you want to hang out or something? I just see shit like this where it's like, oh, sorry, am I fucked? I'm 31 years old, never had a relationship, and have no friends who are girls. Tell me there's still hope for me? No.
This guy was like, bullshit. Women are programmed to want big, tall protectors, and so yeah, the tall guys always end up getting all the women. And the women want the tall men so badly that many will settle for not being the only woman, and thus, sex is a winner-take-all economy that leaves shorter men out in the cold unless they are rich. And I was like, dude, no. I mean, yeah, like a little, but the world is full of happy couples where the man is not much taller than the woman, or in many cases he's shorter, and he's not always rich. Look at all of the totems of female desire mentioned in this video that we're both commenting on. Women love Jeremy Allen White and Michael B. Jordan and Tom Holland, despite them all being under 6 foot, and not just because they are rich. Yes, Michael B. Jordan is under 6 foot, no matter what his official...
I was just about to ask that! No way! Wait, what? Michael B. Jordan height. Ooh, we got a big... We got a defamation suit incoming. Does he look 6 feet to you? I'm 5'7". Where's the picture?
Oh, it's Tom Cruise.
Oh, shit. Is he lying? What?
Official bio says. Anyway, this guy shot back. Have you seen the videos of women meeting Tom Holland for the first time and laughing because he's so much shorter than they were expecting? And at that point, I felt that I had diagnosed the problem with this guy. This is a guy who pretty much only knows women from the internet and
problem?
Not from real life.
So?
Because here's how it works in real life, boys. Gather around and listen to old man Ragusea. Here's how it works in real life. In real life, you do things. You go places. You go to school, where you meet lots of women about
not
your
me.
Age. You go to a study group at the library, where you meet lots more women. You join a student organization. You join a band. You join a choir. Oh, the women I used to meet in choir practice. You get a job at a real physical place, where you do real physical work with other physical people. Forget the dating app. Get a job at a restaurant, for God's sake. Between the front and back of house, restaurants tend to have a pretty balanced gender makeup, and it's a place that centers corporeal pleasure and alcohol and staying up late, and everybody is sleeping with everybody else at nearly any restaurant you go to. Working at a restaurant is like being in Fleetwood Mac. You get a job. You get involved. Join a political organization, or a faith community, or a fan community. Anything where people get together in physical meat space, and it's not just a sausage party. When you just live life out of the house, when you do interesting things with interesting people.
Just live your life, fams. We got it.
Chemicals will react, often in unexpected ways. Back in my dating days, I had relationships with women who were taller than me, shorter than me, prettier than me, less pretty than me, all of that. Because
Whoa.
When you meet actual women, when you engage with them as something other than a potential sex partner, when you work with women, when you create things with women, when you go places with women, you learn things with women, you will find that a woman becomes interesting to you, not just because of how she looks, but because she is interesting. Because you are invested in her as a human being in her own right. And then that goes the other way, too. Yes, most women care about looks when seeking a partner, but that doesn't mean looks are the only thing they care about. When you develop a sincere emotional bond with somebody by living life with that person, by doing things with them, that emotional connection can supersede a whole lot of other factors that people consider when choosing each other. This is my tip, the tip for young men looking for young women. Make friends with women. And not just so that you can hit on them, but because you need friends. Friends are good. Women make really good friends, and colleagues, and bandmates, or whatever. If you live an interesting, involved life with women, you will make pre-romantic connections with far more women than you could ever even have a relationship with. I was friends with so many women where we had an obvious spark between us, but we were never both single at the same time. You know, the stars never aligned, and so nothing ever happened. But the stars did align enough times. More than enough times. Perhaps too many for my own good. Just be in community with women.
Chad.
And nature will take its course, as it has done for all prior generations. Now, you might say, well, what do you know, old man Ragusea? Nowadays, everybody meets on dating apps, and so flirting in real life is regarded as harassment. Bullshit. I mean, yes, the standards and practices of flirting have changed a lot over the last several generations, but one advantage of the female empowerment that you may decry is that most women feel perfectly comfortable making the first move these days, and so, generally speaking, you should let them. Let the connection blossom organically.
I think we're leaning a little bit too far to one side on this one, but okay.
Let it grow to the point where you both obviously know that something is going on, but you haven't quite acknowledged it yet, and let her be the one to first nudge her toe over that imaginary line between you. She lives in a world that is legitimately dangerous, so give her the safety of controlling that first move. And if she never does, do not blame the friend zone. There are guys who think that being friends with a woman will cause her to rule you out as a romantic partner. There is no evidence of such an effect. The far more likely explanation is that she would have ruled you out as a romantic partner no matter what. The fact that you are friends with her is incidental. Not everyone you like is going to like you back, and you have to be a big boy and deal with that. Is it harder now for young people today to be in physical community with each other? To allow these chemical reactions to occur? Yeah, absolutely. It sucks. It sucks that we've lost so many third places, you know, a physical place that is neither home nor work, where young people can just be together without necessarily having to buy something. It sucks that we've created an inherently atomizing, alienating built environment where we don't walk or take the train in close proximity to strangers anymore. You are in your automotive or your suburban pod, safely quarantined from everybody else in the Matrix. That sucks. It sucks that we walk around with addictive screens in our pockets that offer some of what you get from physical community, but not everything.
More!
The internet is like a diet of a seafarer of yore. It has enough calories, and it seems like it should keep you alive, but it's actually lacking some crucial micronutrients that are not immediately obvious, and eventually you will get scurvy and die. The internet is like that, as a social food. It offers some of the substance of what you need, but not everything. And if you only get your social food on the internet, you will slowly get sicker and sicker. Even as you cram more and more of it into your face to compensate, it is simply lacking in certain key nutrients. I don't blame you, my young male audience, for the way that you struggle to find real community with lots of other people, including women, with whom you might connect, even if you don't look compatible on a dating app. It's harder for you guys to meet people, but hard does not equal impossible. Ask any disabled or neurodivergent person about that. Improvise, adapt, and overcome. I do blame you guys when I see you talking about women as though they are animals, acting purely on instinct, as though they have no interests in men beyond what the ancient reptile part of their brain tells them to pursue. Hey, maybe you are projecting, my guy. There are guys who want women as sex objects and as domestic servants who have no interest in women beyond any of that. Maybe the reason she doesn't like you is that she can tell that you don't like her.
Dang.
You aren't interested in her. You aren't curious about her. You're not invested in her success or self-actualization. You just want a nicely shaped body that folds laundry.
Whoa.
Well, my guy, if
they make those,
you're a shallow asshole, then women who are really visible to you are also going to be shallow assholes. Maybe you deserve each other. The rest of us have never needed dating apps or even bars to meet. I met a woman in a bar one time, and it did not prove to be a particularly good choice. Everyone else I ever got involved with, I just met by existing in the world with women, by being in partnership with women, and by caring about women beyond my own desire for them. Now, I will admit that despite my own neurodivergence and unremarkable physical attributes, I do have higher than average game with women. I've got good chat, as the Brits would say.
Whoa.
You might have a less intuitive sense of what women want from you when they're getting to know you. Well, here's a bonus tip for you. Get off the internet. Pick up a goddamn romance novel. There is this huge and rapidly growing industry that is most...
Some guy joins like a local pottery class. Hey, babe. I just want to say... you can make the first move because I'm not going to, but I know you guys do now. And also if you do and you let me take you back to my place, I'm going to tie you up and turn you into a vampire and then turn me into a werewolf and fuck you with my 32-inch fucking woof dick. All right.
Women writing stories for other women about what women want. It's a cheat code and it's waiting right there for you to learn it. Don't know which book to read? Go to your local romance bookstore. Even in a modest-sized city like Knoxville, Tennessee, we have multiple such establishments at this point, including Good Girl Books, which my wife of 19 years, Lauren Morrill, co-owns with her friend Rayanne. Their favorite kind of customer there is the clueless dude who shows up and says, oh, I'm not sure what I should get. Can you help me? I'm kind of awkward. Ooh. They love that guy because his very presence in a romance bookstore indicates that he is interested in the inner lives of women. If you want people to be interested in you, you generally got to show some interest in them. Be in community with women in real life. Eventually, one of them will probably look past your superficial shortcomings, and perhaps you will learn to do the same. Now, stop watching YouTube and join a choir. I swear to you guys, choir.
Okay, I don't think you should ever read romance novels. The people, like, men are hyperbolized in the worst possible way, but it works out because it's a fucking book. Like, I don't think, I think if you acted like the way a guy acts in a romance novel in real life, most people just think you're a fucking... loser asshole. Like, are usually like super cold, stuck up, whatever, or there's like some other, there's like a bunch of crazy shit going on in the woman. It's like fantasy shit for women. Not that that's bad, I guess, unless, no, never mind, don't do that. This is the, I'll give you the one real piece of advice that you need to know. Okay, all of these people are wrong. Here's what you need to do. All right, time machine, go back to when you were 11 years old and just diversify your friend group so you're friends with a bunch of girls, so that by the time you're 18, you know how to talk with them. You've probably fucked a couple at that point. And you've got experience chatting and everything else, and you're good. If you're past 25 and you don't have like any regular friend groups that have like girls in them that you're also friends with, I got one word for you. Femboys. Femboys, okay? Check them out. Hold on. Wait, I don't want to do this because fuck the adult. So people are saying joining classes and gen ed sports is a great way to make friends. Okay, so like kind of, so I think here's like the issue is, this is like if I go to the hospital and I see that there are a bunch of people with cancer getting chemo, like, maybe I could think, well, damn, it looks like if you go to the cancer section of the hospital, you're getting a whole bunch of people that are developing cancer. Why don't these people just, like, not come here? And then maybe this wouldn't happen, right? If you're thinking about joining classes and shit to find women. Like, the issue is that people that engage in a lot of pro-social behavior, or people that are already, like, in, especially if you're in college or high school and you're doing sports athletic events, or you're getting involved in things where there are women present, this is very good because you're all of the same age. You're there for, like, an actual hobby that you guys are doing. And then, like, as a side effect of all of that stuff, like, you'll probably meet people and talk to people. And all of that is, like, a natural good thing that will lead to blossoming, like, relationships with men and women. Sexual women, not with men, unless you're into that. A lot of people give this advice of, like, get a hobby or join something later in life. You can do this, but the problem is your approach has to be way different. You cannot join, like, a club or join, like, a hobby thing with women in it when your goal is to, like, your goal is to find a woman to fuck. Because that, I don't want to say desperation, but that attitude, not only will it be, will it highly permeate every social interaction you have, it would chase women off of that thing. Like, nobody wants to feel like they're in something and now a guy showed up and the only reason he's here is to fuck, you know, try to find some chick or whatever. Like, that, like, nobody's going to want to be friends with you or want to do anything with you. That's, like, the worst approach possible. So, I mean, like, finding warm spaces and finding groups where there are girls involved and you can do things with them, whatever, is fine. Personally, I don't know how the fuck you would do that today because everything is online and everything is, I just don't even know. Outside of, like, school or work, if you're working at a job with, like, 95% men, you're fucked. Ironically, though, given God dictator powers, what would you do to reverse this trend? State mandated social activities. I don't really know what I'd suggest if someone asked, except the individual just do stuff and be better response. I don't know. We go back in time. Okay. The thing is, all my solutions involve time travel. So, you know, you're not going to want to fucking hear them because you're just anti time travel. Okay. Go back to the Gamergate era and when all of the people were virtue signaling and were purity testing women like out of video games. Tell those people, bruh, don't you want some hoes? Don't you want to fuck these bitches in the future? Why are you chasing them out of all of your fucking hobbies? So now we're all going to be on Discord a decade from now with all of us fighting for the scraps of whatever BPD Discord queens decide to show up and flaunt their boobs for our attention because we've chased 99% of normal women off. But what are you going to do? Yo, so am I fucked? I'm 31, never 31 years old, never had a relationship and have no friends who are girls. Tell me there's still hope for me? No. You have to do something. You have to change your life significantly. Because the reality is like, and again, there's also why you have to be careful with people who are married for a long time. It's why you have to be careful. I mean, with people like me who are rich and famous and wealthy and successful and handsome and naturally suave, intelligent, charming, charismatic, funny, et cetera, et cetera. or why you have to be careful with boomers or older people that give you dating advice is because if you're successful in a thing, it can be easy to like retrospect and try to guess why you were successful. But the reality is if you put women and men in the same space and you force them to be together, they will eventually start dating and they will eventually start fucking. This is why a lot of people meet girlfriends and boyfriends in high school and college. This is why adult men end up fucking or sexting 16, 15-year-old women online. This is why coworkers always end up smashing each other. This is why anytime you put a whole bunch of men and a whole bunch of women in the same place, they will start talking, dating, fucking. The difference is that in the past, you were kind of like put into spaces and you didn't really have that much choice to like avoid all human contact. Whereas today, you can self-select a lot more for spaces and you could, if you really want, avoid, you know, women. I say want, but like the idea that you would be forced to be, how many, oh my God, holy shit. I just had a fucking core fucking second grade memory unlocked. Jesus. How many times, okay. Jesus, I don't even know how this, dude, sometimes the Vyvanse just opens parts of my brain. How many times, you ever been in like fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade or whatever? Wait! Hold on, let me mind meld with you. Tenka Musso, you're not gonna mind, you have no idea. Let me write it out. You have no idea what I'm about to say. You have no idea what I'm about to say. Hold on, let me write it out, he says. Hold on. Tenka Musso thinks he's mind melded with me. Playground stuff where you just play with only guys and exclude girls from tag and shit? Oh, no, we're not mind melded. Fuck you. I was going to say, how many times would you have, like, it was like a partnered activity or there was like a group of four people where if it was left to your own devices and it's like, okay, guys, pair off. There were always like the same two or three people you'd pair off with. But then sometimes, you know, like, you're not going to go ask like the cutie in your fourth grade class, okay, Rebecca, to be your partner. But then when the teacher's like, well, we're going to assign partners, sometimes, you know, you might just get a sign. You got like two guys or two girls in a group in grade school or whatever. Like, this is like one of a billion examples of people kind of forcing, like adults forcing children or people forcing men and women together into common spaces. Yeah, like stuff will happen. But when you start to self-select so much, you don't choose those spaces as much because there's kind of like some friction there and it's a little bit awkward. So then you just keep gravitating towards the same groups, you know, same gender over and over and over again. And you kind of just, you get fucked. I feel like the best way to avoid going into hobbies with the intention to pick up women is to slowly branch out from hobbies you already enjoy. That way you can always focus on the hobby itself. Sure. Well, and also just don't be a creep. Easy. See, just don't be a creep and then be a giga chad and you're good. I've always had good male and female friends my entire adult life, but still haven't managed to get into a single relationship. The times I tried to make a move, the girl friend zoned me. Women will decide in 1 hour whether or not you're dating or friendship material, okay? Don't fuck it up. Is it possible to choose to be gay? You can choose whatever you want if you choose hard enough. Ooh, yeah. Are you Tifa or Eris? That's another issue. If you want to pick up chicks, you got to be an Eris guy. You can't be a Tifa guy, okay? They'll see right through you. Oh, yeah, you could be a passport bro, too. Just go to Southeast Asia. Pick up a poor chick. If you're a passport bro, what country you go to? Turkmenistan. Then you don't have to compete with anybody, because who the fuck knows anything about Turkmenistan? Remember, you said the best method is listen and ask follow-up questions, literal cheat code, God method. Why did you do it? Did it work? That's what I did to fuck your mom. Ha ha! Wow! 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 Literal wow moment. World of Warcraft. I get it. Wow. Okay. I don't want to give you the real thing. Okay. Here's the real shit. Okay. Here's the real shit. All right. Every person on the planet with any friends has friends that are girls. People are saying shit like, oh no, like all my coworkers are men. Like, oh, I've got like a group of friends, but 9 or 10 of them are men. Really? Did they come from test tubes? Do these guys have birthdays? They have moms. Hit up their moms. Tell them you want to go shopping for their kid to get him a cute little gift, okay? Act kind of like cute and indecisive, all right? Key to a mom's heart is to love her kid, all right? That's true of young single moms, it's true of older moms, all right? And then boom, you're in. You're banging their mom. You might have access to their siblings of age. She might introduce you to other moms. Boom! Whew, I sealed the deal. I remember when I was at Mr. Mooten's mom's house, we were trying to pick out gifts for his birthday. She made some food, and I was like, man, Lucas sure was lucky to grow up with you every day. Whoo! She was on that table, getting smashed in 20 seconds. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. The jokes. I'm done. Stop! To be honest, the friendships I made in school were very diverse in comparison to the friendships I have now. When you put me in an environment with a lot of different people, I can be friends with a lot of them, but when I get to choose suddenly, it gets a lot harder, and it's pretty weird. Yeah, because there's a little bit of friction in meeting new people. That's why it's always beneficial in school to get thrown together with a bunch of people. It's very, very, very hard, in my opinion, but then again, I always met people in environments where we were forced to be together until I got famous streaming. First it was school, then it was work, and then it was like through friend groups. That was things that we had growing up. We had real life friend groups. Oh, parties after school for high school. I feel like it's better to find someone who relates with your struggles and not your interests. Oh, okay. I didn't know we were going to the advanced level. We got the manipulator here. That's true. Trauma bonding is a way to get a chick instantly addicted to you. Absolutely base. Good job, George the Thinker, for going outside of the box there. Why would you want to talk to a chick about what she wants to do in the future when you could focus on the pains of her past? The problem with that is that it runs out of utility in like a month and you don't know what to do after that. What are you talking about, bro? Trauma is forever. You can't like fixate on like a past trauma. You have to know like the logical branching points from the past trauma. So if some girl, you know, had issues with her parents growing up or something, then, you know, identify those same issues with her a few weeks down the line. That'll get into her brain. It'll mind fuck her. Say she feels like she had a mom who was like super abusive to her or whatever. If you have a fight or if she's starting to feel distant, drop a, hey, I know that you mentioned having problems with your mom, but sometimes I feel like you kind of act like she did, you know? That really gets into the brain. It really gets the noggin jogging. And sometimes you can even guess random shit. Like, I bet you had a big falling out with a friend in college over shit related to stuff that you're copying now from your mom, right? You get into their head, plant ideas that they're fucking... Everybody had a falling out with a friend in college. Get some astrology going, bro. You can do the mental illness cycle forever. How do you think I kept Anna? It always feels like the people who give advice on dating are vehemently out of touch with the people who need it. The issue is that, like, a lot of dating advice stuff, one, it's easy to go back and kind of retrospect why a thing worked without actually having any understanding whatsoever. A lot of successful people do this. It's very hard to find a successful person in any field that understands why they were successful. I could say, for instance, that, people wonder why I'm so social. Well, it's because I grew up playing a lot of video games and I watched anime and they talk to people all the time and those things, right? And, like, that's probably not true at all, right? But I might, like, think about it that way. And I could even, like, put together, like, a cute little narrative that seems to be kind of compelling, but, like, it's not. So some people have a really hard time identifying their success. Unfortunately, I think, like, when it comes to the dating a girl thing, I think a lot of it is just like gym stuff. Building muscle is not a mystery. Eat enough protein, literally do anything in the gym, and then get any amount of sleep, and you're probably on your way to being moderately successful. When it comes to dating or picking up women, it's have relationships with women, ideally friendships first, so that you're not awkward and weird. Learn how to have a conversation without being fucking retarded. Be like a reflective individual that can ask questions that show a genuine interest in their person. Know like when to push and when to back off. But like this is stuff that you just develop like experientially. And so it's very hard to like just give this to somebody. Like Kobe Bryant, well, is dead. Steph Curry, you know, and me could talk on Discord for 3 years and he could like try to teach me how to play basketball through text. But like if I never pick up a ball, like what? I'm not going to learn anything, right? It's not going to teach me anything, you know? So, the problem with, like, dating and talking to the other genders and all that bullshit is that you don't get inorganic practice. It's hard to practice that skill, you know? All the practice is relatively organic. It's when you're in school and if you're working jobs that have both sexes working together. But then once you're outside of those organic environments, I don't know how you force the inorganic reactions. I truly don't know. I don't know the answer to that. That's hard. On average, it takes 100 plus hours to become friends with someone. What? That sounds crazy. That sounds like so much time. No shot. Or what do you mean, like best, closest, deep soul friends? Dr. K says 50 hours low-level friends, 200 hours close friends. I guess if you're spending a lot of days with them. No, I guess maybe. Yeah, I don't know. What do you mean friendship first? I'm not and would not be friends with any of my partners. No, don't be friends with the girls that you want to date. That's a disaster, okay? Not only is that a disaster, listen, this is a red pill thing that I'm sorry is very true, okay? If you want to catch fish, you don't talk to the fish, you talk to the fisherman, okay? Because women will tell you some retarded shit like, oh, you be friends with us, friends with us. But you should be able to be friends with women, like have women friends before you try to date other women. Because the issue is that like you wouldn't learn to run before you can walk. Right. So how are you like because picking up a woman would at least require the social skills to be friendly with a woman first. But if you're so fucking nervous talking to a woman because you don't even have like women friends and you're also trying to like do like the dating and hit up or hitting on them and or hooking up or whatever else, it's too much. You're going to fuck up because it's like such a new situation for you to be in. Yeah, I got you, bro. Got you. Zerka says treat women like your little sister or daughter and banter with them. Zerka is probably as fucking crazy and weird as that dude is. Zerka probably has some of the, I hate to call this because it sounds misogynist, but like the best game of any person I've ever seen in my entire life. The treat women like you would your sister or something. Maybe actually, unironically, maybe, yeah. But if you didn't grow up with a sister, I guess you're kind of fucked in that sense. So normal or step? Normal and then step, if you know what I mean. What's your take on high school sweetheart couples? I mean, if you get really lucky and you end up matching with somebody and then you guys end up growing similarly enough together that you enjoy each other, I mean, that's if you can do it, that's great, right? How would you navigate wanting to get with a coworker, especially when you just met and hit it off great with? Fucking go for it, bro. But also try to find like the department transfer as soon as possible, because if that shit doesn't work out, whoo, you're dropping a bomb, an atomic bomb on your workplace. Good luck. Don't shit where you eat. Yeah, that advice is fucking retarded. People always just say it because like relationships will get fucked and everything, but I mean, like, where you're working, you're likely to meet people that are similar interests to you, and you're spending a lot of time around them. Can you clarify what you mean about not being friends with your girlfriend? Like, do you think you should be dating first and then become friends? No, I'm just saying that if you're trying to date people and you don't even have experiences being friends with that group of people, then you probably aren't going to be successful in trying to court those people because you don't even know how to engage with them on, like, a normal level. You're going to be fucking nervous. You're going to fuck it all up. He's asking, why shouldn't you befriend the girl you want to date? I mean, you should be able to be friends with girls you want to date. I can't explain this, and I don't know how to explain this, but there is an asexual energy that some guys give off, or there is an asexual vibe that can happen with some people. And like I said, this is a thing that I think women, the problem is that for men, our standards between what will date and what will fuck is very, 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 very wide. Men will fuck a lot more than they will date. For women, what they will date and what they will fuck is a lot narrower. And for some reason, I don't know why, but there's a certain type of energy you give off where if you are talking to a girl and you guys are like kind of like friends and chummy, like you get categorized like very quickly, and that is unlikely to change in the future. So Like, I could rattle off some reason why I think that is, but I don't know if any of them are actually the truth. Like, it can feel a little deceptive, I guess, to the woman, although I don't know if that matters. If the guy is, like, friending her up and then all of a sudden, like, angles it into, like, a sexual relationship later on where he's like, oh, I actually really like you. Like, that can feel, like, a little bit weird. Because women are, like, more gatekeeper-ish sexually, like, it's more natural in a woman's mind to kind of, like, have a guy who's a friend and not fuck her. But for men, it kind of fucks with us a little bit because it's like, well, hold on, you're friends with me, so why wouldn't you also at least just, like, fuck me? Because for men, like, it just doesn't compute as much. This is incel logic, in my opinion. Most women I've met are down to fuck with most guys. Well, you are hanging out with me all the time, so you're gonna buy that. I'm just kidding. Oh, Radiant said that. Oh, well, Radiant, if you're meeting, like, not to be mean or whatever, but if you're meeting, like, Discord queens and shit, it's a totally different class of, or type of woman, I think. I think you also have to really accept you're going to have a lot of awkward interactions with people to train your social skills. I'd always be super hard on myself when I fucked up or was weird, and it hamstrung me romantically. Yeah, but the issue is that, like training, it's just, I'm sorry, this is so doomer. I'm not trying to be a doomer. Training these skills is best done in, like, a low-stakes environment. Like, if you're trying to flirt with a classmate or whatever bullshit, like, it's whatever, you know? When I say low stakes, I mean low stakes for the woman. It becomes significantly harder to let men, like, use you as training wheels or practice, like, learning how to do relationships once you're older because, like, the stakes on everything is a bit higher. The guy's gonna fucking abduct you. Everything is just, like, when you're an adult, the vibe is just a lot weirder. Like, it's more like you're meeting people a little bit less organically. They're not just like your classmates, so you kind of have to, like, second guess intentions, and it's a whole bunch of other shit. Okay. Weakness. Fire. Dispelling its reflect. Who the fuck uses these magics?
Dispel?
So this means he has reflect on him right now, right?
He does.
Men get pissed off if a woman is even nice to them without explicitly stating that it's platonic. Some men get super pressed and will accuse women of leading them on. You should just never do that as a woman. My advice to women, though, is very much avoid men at all costs. Just do what makes you happy, okay? Okay, /disorder. If you had to weigh all the factors of being an attractive partner, how would you dole out percentages for the big ones like charisma, status, and looks? Like, the problem is that it's hard to separate these out because, like, this is like my IQ take. Like, some people cope really hard around, like, school test scores and stuff, where they're like, oh no, like, I'm actually really smart. I just, for some reason, I'm just bad at tests. And it's like, no, you're probably just fucking around, my dude. I'm sorry, but, like, 99% of the time, you're probably just not that qualified. Like, I would argue that high charisma is easily, like, the most attractive trait that you can develop. But, like, I think high charisma is oftentimes going to be highly correlated with other successful traits. Like, it's going to be pretty rare that you have some person who is insanely charismatic, but for some reason just seems to be, like, very low status, like, looks very bad. Like, these things are just not, like, success tends to breed more success in these areas. Truth is, I'm right, you're wrong if you think otherwise. Men need to find contentment outside of relationships. Every man I meet has an insanely negative life, whatever, with needing to have a girlfriend for whatever reasons that aren't actually beneficial for them outside of superficial bullshit. Well, I think having, like, close female friends is probably nice. Women tend to be a little bit more emotionally communicative. Male friendships tend to be a little bit hollower. It's nice to, like, have women, I think, in general, are, like, they're just nice things. I don't mean women, like, multiple, like you're collecting them or whatever. Do you have close non-sexual female friendships? Only with minors. Joking! Well, no, not joking.
What do you mean? I don't know what I mean now. Never mind.
It's very rare to hear women say that about men, at least on public forums.
Yeah, because most men are trash.
I'm sorry, bro. What do you want me to say? They're schizoid, overbearing. They put on a lot of pressure. If you're a woman, you feel like you have to account for their feelings and your feelings. Every fucking interaction is stressful as fuck because if you say or do the wrong thing, you've either picked up a stalker for life or they're going to try to kill you or they're going to talk shit about you. So just a lot. It's a lot to deal with. God, I want to punch a wall. Fuck you, Destiny. Yeah, get that anger out. Ugh. I think a lot of these people are introvert and should be seeking out extrovert women. Listen, nobody likes this take. I think you should not be, and you should always just be extroverted. That shy shit is only works if you're like a tsundere, whatever archetype. You can't just be a shy fucking person. Nobody wants to be around those people. So good luck. Yeah, everybody's coping in chat about introvert. Introvert doesn't mean shy. I just don't like.
Never mind. Listen, hey, if it works for you, it works for you, okay?
Any texting advice? I don't know. Ask follow-up. It depends on if the person's interested in you or not. I don't know. If you're too clingy, then be less clingy. If you're not showing enough interest, then learn how to show more interest. I don't know what to say. Show me your text and I'll tell you what to do, okay? Stamps Delivery Service is back in operation. Hell yeah. Good job. You're introverted? Actually, probably a little bit. But I never describe myself as that introverted. Because everybody that describes themselves as introverted is actually just shy and lacking confidence. Kind of how, like, I'm also probably more, like, in some ways a centrist politically, but I would never describe myself as such. No, I mean, I just hate texting in general and would rather just use it to make plans and that's it. Okay, here's the issue, okay? You can either accept this or not accept it, okay? This is not me telling you about how you should view the world. It's about me telling you to be honest with yourself, okay? Everything I say also doesn't apply to me. So if anybody's ever listening to me that ever talks to me, it doesn't apply to me because I'm genuinely working 99% of my fucking life away, okay? So I actually don't have time for anything, okay? So now that I'm exempted from that group. When you say, if a girl is texting you and you're not texting her as much or whatever, okay? This is the issue is one, when you say, well, I'm just not that into texting, she knows that you're lying because two, when you first started texting, you were probably texting a whole bunch more. And three, she knows and you know that if it was a girl you were like super fucking interested in, you would be on your fucking phone like, hold on, guys. Hold on. Hold on. Like, thoughts on women who exclusively send voice notes? Those are SMS terrorists. If you communicate through voice notes, you deserve to die alone. I don't mind it all the time. Actually, hold on. I'm going to be a big man right now, and I will make a carve out because I have like two or three people in my life that send me voice notes, but this is their voice note, okay? This is their voice note. Hey, I wanted to chat with you about this particular thing. I noticed that when we spoke last time, you said blah, 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 and you know, and I did this thing, and we talked to this person, and blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, okay. That's fine. If I open your fucking voice note. Hello? Oh. Hello? Oh, is this working? Okay. oh man, I forgot. Tomorrow, a bunch of us are probably gonna go out to eat at like, I think it was like 8 o'clock, and we were wondering, did you wanna drive? Just stop! Write the script beforehand of what you want to say in the voice note and look at the script in your phone and then read it in the voice note. I don't think that voice notes are inherently a bad thing if you're like, if you're communicating through the whole voice note, but people that leave voice notes with the first like 20 seconds is them remembering to open their fucking mouth and say something meaningful makes me want to rope. Unless that's the goal, then I feel like texting on dating apps, if you don't have a commitment in a couple of messages, you're wasting your time. Also, calls are a lot more fun. You can do other shit while speaking on the phone. Yeah, you could. I mean, like, it's always good to move off of Tinder as soon as possible. The problem is just, like, I don't know how to explain this, especially as a fucking, as a bisexual man. If you're texting with a guy, because guys, like, gay or bi dudes will do this, so I'm assuming straight men do this too. If you're responding with like two word answers on everything and you're not even using capitalization or punctuation but you are interested, that's a mind fuck. You should die alone, okay? And don't waste anybody's time. I have no fucking idea how men will put in so little effort, even when they are interested, they'll put in almost no effort sometimes to their responses. And it's like, I'm sorry, am I talking to a fucking wall right now? Or are you like in the middle of fucking brain surgery and you can't move your thumbs or even do a fucking text to speech? What the fuck is going on? That's crazy to me, especially, and I'm not even saying like, because sometimes people just lose interest, but like they'll follow up sometimes and it'll be like, what am I talking to? That's, I don't know, bro. That you should die alone or breed your autism out of you. Holy fuck. Oh my God. Be honest with yourself. Are you more likely to listen to a voice note or a voicemail? I don't know when the last time I listened to a voicemail was, but I might be a typical, I don't use text. I hate texting. I always use Discord or Instagram or whatever. A lot of people think that like texting is more personable or some shit. Which I think it probably is, actually. I actually do skew off of the norm on some shit, but I'm a special cupcake. What about a bad text and a great date? Also, those follow-ups are when we are bored and look through our phones to see when we can chat up. I don't know what that means. If you're a bad texter, like, one, you can't start off as a good texter and then explain you're a bad texter. It's always going to come off as a lack of interest, okay? So don't start off super interested and then be like, oh, I suck at texting. No one's going to believe you. Number one. Number two, if you're a bad texter, just don't. Tell the person, like, oh, I suck at texting. If they want to text or whatever, you should be like, hey, like, I can call you tomorrow night if you want to, like, chat. You could be on your way home from work while you're driving, if you have, like, fucking laundry to fold or something, and, like, chat. But don't text poorly. The true meta is FaceTime? Bro, yeah, chicks like that shit. Fuck that. You should learn how to do all that shit, though. I can't tell you that. I hate that shit. Fuck that. What does texting poorly mean? Like, just not reading. Texting is like social interactions for retards, and some people still fail it. Like, if somebody's like, I don't know, if you're chatting with someone or there's some bullshit or whatever, and they're like, hey, sorry for the late response. My dog died. I love them so much, you know? And then, like, your response is like, oh, sorry. What are you up to? Do you want to hang out or something? I just see shit like this where it's like, why the fuck did this person put so much shit in that you're just not even responding to? Are you retarded? It's like getting an essay in English class where you're supposed to, like, here's the prompt, incorporate all three parts into your thesis or your answer or whatever, and you just, like, ignore it completely. You just, like, write some random shit. This type of, like, non-engagement stuff is probably some of the most autistic forms of communication that men engage in, where I don't know, whatever. Listen, you do you, chief. That's how women reply. I swear to God, I got great texting game, but shit these days is wild. Well, you also have to know when to wind down a conversation too, okay? Sometimes people are very stressful to talk to because, you know, if you start texting, you know you're going to be, like, locked in a fucking textual battle forever and they will never let you go. So, I mean, women can do that. I mean, maybe men can do that. I don't know. I normally see the problems the other way around, but I'm going to say those weird follow-ups from people that seem disinterested are because either A, other plans fell through and they are looking at other people they recently texted and shooting their shot to see if they can rekindle that chat, or B, they get bored and have no plans and, again, try and shoot their shot because a person you aren't very interested in is better than doing nothing. Maybe. Hey, listen. Hey! I'd rather be a girl's plan B than a plan Z than a plan nothing. Hey, fuck it. If somebody's... You might not be somebody's fucking first choice in life at every single instance, okay? Like, genuine attraction and then relationship building and then love is an intentional process that you have to work at. And a big factor of a successful relationship is the time investment the two of you make in each other. And that's not a thing that can be duplicated by a slightly more attractive partner or by somebody who might be a better match for you. You know, if you have a person that you're reasonably attracted to, that you have a reasonable connection with, and you guys have spent 10 years building a relationship together, you're not going to instantly swap that person out with another person, or them swap you out with another person that's just a slightly more attractive, that you relate to a little bit better. So don't get ass pain because somebody else might be chatting with somebody else. I mean, obviously, if it's a girlfriend, if you're, like, dating, then sure. I mean, they probably shouldn't be hitting up other people, but if you haven't locked anything down yet, then, yeah, fuck. Don't tell that to Connor. Jesus Christ. Someone mentions that they are freshly single when you first meet them. Is that somewhat of a hint? Yeah, of course. That means they're ready to smash right then and right there. Tildar is, you probably have a higher chance with someone who doesn't like you or even hates you than with someone who has literally zero interest. If they hate you, they at least have some interest. Sure. If you want to get the women, you have to be a conservative on the outside and a liberal on the inside. Okay. Good luck. Forgive me for asking. Is it always a bad thing to talk about exes and past relationships? Personally, I think it's okay to a little bit, because this is a shit test for me. It's a good way to test the waters. Like, if somebody gets, like, really ass mad if you mention, like, an ex, I think that's a red flag. But if you're like, actually, if you have to ask this question, you probably should just never do it. Never mind. You should just never do it. Forget I said that, actually. Because I would say that, like, it could be a good way to see if somebody's, like, a little bit too possessive or a little bit too, I don't know, like, jealous of your past. There are just so many if you want to mention an ex and it's, like, related to a casual, I'm trying to think of what rules I would craft. If you're a player, you just, like, intuit it out, you know? But, like, if you're mentioning an ex in connection with, like, a casual type thing or whatever, it's, like, an okay thing to do. You know, somebody says, like, oh, like, I like to play pickleball or some shit. And you're like, oh, shit, I play some pickleball. My ex used to play a lot of pickleball. Like, that's fine. But if you're, like, I'm going to go to the beach at night because we can bring a blanket, lay on the beach and chat. And it's, like, a super fun special moment and you're chatting and you're like, yeah, I really love this place. Like, I used to come here with my ex all the time. Bro, just kill yourself. Like, walk into the ocean and drift away. Why would you ever put into the mind of the person that you're having a special moment with that, like, your ex is on your mind. So, I don't know. There's just, like, there are ways to do it that I think are perfectly fine and healthy and shows that the other person is not, like, weirdly possessive of your past life. But then there are other ways where it's like, why the fuck would you ever bring this up right now? How fucking retarded are you to say this right now? So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people sometimes are trying too hard. Just doing stuff and seeing how it turns out is often better than trying to come up with some perfect strategy. I mean, like, kind of, but, like, the issue is that the only people that say that are people that, like, naturally are just, like, pretty charismatic people. That's kind of, like, a bullshit thing, you know? Like, oh, like, just, it's like, that's, like, the just be yourself advice. It's like, well, I guess if you're, like, naturally, like, attracting women and you get along well with women and you can smash or whatever, then, but that really doesn't do much for... Destiny, doesn't that fall on the other person, though, not yourself? What, if you bring up, like, an ex in a special moment? There's, like, a normal range of what I would say is probably, like a normally distributed range of, like, possessiveness or whatever that I would just say is, like, this is, like, an ordinary thing that most people should have. And I would say that it would be my expectation that if you're bringing up an ex during, like, special, unique moments you're sharing with somebody, that's almost always going to mind fuck a person a little bit. It's like, I just don't know why you're thinking of your ex. Or are we, like, replaying your last relationship? Or I think for a lot of people, I think you're just planting seeds that, like, don't need to be planted there. Bringing up an ex in reference to an activity or action with a new person means that activity or action will never happen again with that new person. Okay, no, so that I think is too much. That's why I said, like, I don't think it would be a big deal if you're like, oh, like, you like to play this or whatever, like, oh yeah, you suppose some ex or whatever. If the person is I think that's too possessive. In my opinion, that would be, maybe that would be on the very far end of normally distributed, I think, maybe. That's, I don't know. I don't think that should be that big of a deal. People who have to live a life pretending that, like, their partner never had ever any kind of past relationships, I think it's too much. I think it's kind of weird. I think it's a little disrespectful to bring up an ex unsolicited. That's fine. I think not all filters are bad filters. Some people will say things like, oh, well, if you do that, you're going to filter some partners. I think there would be some people that I could talk to that probably would get upset if I were to bring up an ex in a certain way, but I would be okay with filtering a person like that. That would just be a level of possessiveness that I just wouldn't be comfortable with. But I mean, you have the right to be okay with that. Like, that's not like, again, when I say possessiveness, I think there's some ordinary levels of possessiveness people can have that aren't, like, abnormal or unhealthy. Thoughts on how to react if someone gets upset you won't talk about things you did with your ex? I would have to see how that conversation plays out, but I don't know why somebody would be insisting on knowing that. That sounds kind of toxic, weird. I don't know. Hypothetical, Erica Kirk hits you up in the DMs. Do you reply? Ugh, obviously. I need more godly women in my life. What do you think about being roommates with friends? Over the past year, two out of four of my friends tried living together are no longer friends. I don't know. That sounds risky to me, but I've never had a roommate in my life, I don't think, that wasn't a romantic partner, so I don't know. But I'm also like, I like my space. I don't mind sharing space with a romantic partner. Fuck, I don't know. I really don't know. It would really just depend on the roommate. I just get very touchy about if I feel like I have to entertain somebody, or if I feel like somebody expects me to be, like, turned on all the time, like, psychologically or whatever, I don't know, that shit gets stressful. But I don't know if that's, like, a normal roommate thing. Or if you had, like, big mismatches in certain ways to live, like if somebody was, like, fucking up the kitchen all the time, or, like, leaving a bunch of, like, disgusting dishes or laundry everywhere, I don't know, that would be too much. Am I misremembering, but wasn't Devin Nash technically your roommate for a moment? Like, maybe a month or less, I think, so... How long do you think people should wait before moving in together? I don't know. My take on this is probably more outside the norm. I think you should move in as soon as possible. But that's probably after a couple months or a few months, I guess, after you've dated. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of... The thing that would scare me is getting to know somebody, or, like, falling in love with somebody, or, like, building a good relationship over the course of, like, a year. And then you go to move in and you find out that, like, you just can't live together. I don't know. That would be really sad to me. I want to speed run the early parts of the relationship. Fuck that. Yeah, but you would at least spend a couple nights at her place before moving in. Sure, I guess. You probably would, yeah. Do you think you should do extended sleepovers and see how that goes before committing to a full-on move-in? Yeah, probably. There's no reason not to, right? Do you think PC gaming still has the same negative stigma that it used to back in the day when it comes to dating? No, but, like, the problem has never been yes and no. The problem is not, like, gaming. The problem is there are a lot of behaviors that are, like, associated with gaming that are big turnoffs. So, like, if you have, like, a passion for a game, but you, like, also do other stuff in your life and everything, and it's not, like, making you miserable in other ways, most women are going to be fine with that. But if you, the problem is that like gaming is oftentimes associated with like sitting on the computer for long periods of time, being neglectful or ignoring your significant other, or the game's like putting you in like a really bad mood, or like the way that you, I don't know, like imagine if you had a hobby that you spoke about that just like made you hate yourself and hate your life. I don't know. It's just not, it's a very unattractive hobby. You know, if you treat it that way, I guess is what I'm saying. What games are you playing? League of Legends, Valorant, CSGO, Marvel Rivals. What do you mean? Any fucking competitive online fucking ladder game where you want to kill yourself after you finish gaming every day? What do you mean? All of them? The test is how you work together when you're being not on a date. You just staying over, even extended, you're in date mode. Your gaming PC isn't there. You don't have all your weird shit you do on the reg. It's all a play until you move in. Yeah, sure. I would say like the problem is that like if you can imagine like meters in your brain, in my opinion, I think that annoyance or irritation with a partner is a thing that builds up insanely quickly if they're engaged in certain behaviors. But I think that those behaviors are almost completely masked until you're living with each other is the big issue, right? If I'm going out on a date with you, I have set aside in my brain some number of hours where we're just spending time together and that's it. And then I know that there's a definitive end time to that. And then I'm going home and that's it. And that's fine. It's like anything you do in that time is going to be fair game for wanting my attention, I would imagine, because we're on a date. But oh, also, if I am irritated or annoyed, we're probably just not going to go out, right? Or, you know, they'll know in advance, like, hey, like, I'm kind of fucking whatever, I'm in a mood. The problem is that when you, live together and then now the person can, because you're not on a date and you're just there, if the person starts to engage in behaviors that are like irritating or annoying to you, that shit can amp the fuck up out of like your irritation or annoyance feelings very, 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 very fast. And like there's a decent chance that you have maybe never seen these behaviors before in your entire life. And the problem is because why would your partner ever be annoying you or asking too much or whatever if you're generally like on relationships with them? You always had like some good space. But the problem is not only can those behaviors start to show up when you live together, you didn't know about, the way that you respond to those behaviors can surprise your partner. And then the way that they respond to your responses, your shit can spiral and get fucked. So like maybe you get like a little bit snappy or moody or something if you are getting irritated and your partner's literally never seen you get snappy or moody before. And maybe your partner has absolutely never in their life with you been in a situation where you're like denying their affections or something. Well, now, you know, not only are they seeing you moody for the first time, which is already kind of weird, the way that you respond to it might start giving them like confidence issues or insecurities in the relationship. And then that can get, there are like different types of interactions like that probably don't happen much if you're not living together that can cause shit to fucking, mega, mega spiral. Didn't COVID lockdowns break a lot of relationships because they actually had to spend time living together? Maybe for married couples, I guess, maybe. Another one is the first time one of you needs alone time. Men are really scary if you're a woman and you hang around a man. Like everything is like a little bit different because like the pushy kind of behavior and the entitlement to your time and space and body or whatever, it just makes the whole mood like very different. So like physically, that's like really scary, I think. Psychologically, I think that same feeling can be around a woman. This might be maybe just because of the way that I engage with relationships and then the type of woman I tend to pair up with. But like for everything that a woman feels, you know, men will never understand this, maybe unless you're bi or gay. And then women will never understand this because it's just on other ends of things. But like all of the weird, discomforting feelings that a woman feels when a man steps into the room, I feel like men get the opposite side of that when, for whatever reason, they start to feel a little bit annoyed or in a mood. Because not only do you have to manage your feelings now, you have to be very, very, very fucking careful how you express them so that your partner doesn't take it personally. Because you might find yourself having to play caretaker for both your own emotional state and their response to your emotional state at the same time. And that can get, why do we speak to these bad cases? Plenty of men can make women feel comfortable and safe. You can, but I think it tends to be not the norm. I think most guys are not good at having somebody feel comfortable around them. Are your options as a guy greatly reduced if you never want to move in with a partner and just want to date from afar? I guess, yeah. Well, I feel like most people would eventually want to, yeah. Sometimes Destiny says men will never understand this, but he seems to understand it while being a man. Low expectations for empathy and understanding is part of why men suck in general. Kind of, but I think women are pretty poor at understanding the man experience sometimes too. It's just that for a variety of social factors or whatever else, women can kind of get away with it a little bit more because men tend to be chasers a little bit more than women are chasers for relationships. So it just depends on, or it doesn't depend. I just think generally speaking, you can get away with being a little bit more autistic as a woman than you can with as a guy. Also, yeah, Destiny is a woman's name. Duh. True. How do you decide whether to go for a girl who is clearly into you? I'm thinking about this now because a girl I kind of like demonstrated clear interest in me. It just feels new because as a guy, I'm usually the one who chooses. Maybe I've just gotten more perceptive with women dropping hints. I don't understand what you're asking. You just go for it, no? You think it's okay to hook up with a girl that's in a relationship? Listen, that's their life and their problems and their sins, okay? Don't tell Connor I said that, though. It's wrong to be a homewrecker. Hey, it ain't your home. It ain't your home to wreck. Nobody blames the snake and Adam and Eve, okay? How do I navigate a date maskless? I hate the idea of wearing a mask. What does that mean? Like a COVID mask? Are you Taylor Lorenz? Let's say you found out after you've been going out for a while that she has OnlyFans. Do you have to sit with yourself and figure out if you want to continue, no matter how much you love her? Is it worth it? If it even bothers you a little? Even if you think you can get over it, I hope I'm not being rude, but anything you might say would be helpful. Well, are you in this situation? Here's the issue that everybody has when it comes to determining whether or not they should take a new job or whether or not they should be in a new relationship or whether or not they should fucking herp it or whatever, okay? Is that if you feel some level of discomfort now and you really think about it and you really like try to process whatever the fuck and you kind of think you get over it and you do it or whatever, then you might be able to be okay with it, like when things are good. But a thing that people fuck up at consistently is they don't stop to consider, like, how am I going to feel when things are, like, not good? So the question you have to ask yourself is, and it's hard to know this until it happens, like, fine, you're okay with her doing sex work or whatever other bullshit now. I don't know if the OnlyFans she does boy-girl stuff or it's just solo stuff. The question you have to ask yourself is, like, if you guys are fighting and something is happening, how are you going to feel when you guys are having a big fight, she's not talking to you, and then she's, like, fulfilling requests on OnlyFans, like, you know, schlicking for some dude who paid her $300 for it? Like, that's the type of stuff that you have to consider. This isn't just for sex work, by the way. This is literally for anything. Is people oftentimes will evaluate things when they're trying to make good decisions, because as human beings, we think about, like, we need to be in a calm, rational place when we make decisions, because generally speaking, we should be. But, like, you got to think of, you know, for a relationship, this is a thing that you're stuck with for, when I say stuck with, that you're in for hopefully the long haul. You have to think about certain things and how those are going to play out when you're not in a good state of mind. So if you think that, like, yeah, you know, I can handle it, I'll just maybe feel a little bit extra shitty or whatever, that's fine. But the problem is that things that are tolerable when things are good become completely and totally irrevocably destructive when things are bad. So I don't know. But I can't answer that question for you. I don't know, bro. The man equivalent would be a truck driver. Some women wouldn't want their partners gone most of the week. Oh, no, 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 no. There is an extra special toxic feeling. I say toxic, that's not really fair, but there is an extra special horrible emotion that you get if you find out that if you're fighting with your partner and your partner is like ignoring you and they go off to their room to watch like a TV show or a movie or whatever. That's one thing. But if you guys are fighting and your partner's ignoring you and then they start talking to somebody else, that it evokes a totally different type of response reaction. Be careful with that one. Be careful being friends with failed dating partners. Well, I think it's fine. Depending on the maturity level of both people. And it depends on how the relationship ended. If you have a partner that you used to date, but the relationship ended very one-sided, then in my opinion, the only way it'll ever work is if both of you guys are dating again. Or the person who got dumped is dating again, and then they can re-engage as friends. Otherwise, that'll always be a disaster. Being just friends fucked with me for a long time because I still had feelings. Yeah, don't do that. The problem with it is that, like, when things don't work out with somebody and you really wanted them to, and the breakup was like one-sided on like them breaking up with you, the issue is that if you break up and you remain friends, in your reality, you haven't actually broken up yet. So you have to go through the whole pain of like things not working out and them rejecting you or whatever the fuck else. But then in the future, inevitably, they will find somebody else and you won't, because you haven't moved on and you haven't made yourself emotionally available to any other girl because you're so worried about missing a re-opportunity for the girl that you already lost. And then when they start dating somebody, it's going to be over for you. And then you're going to start threatening to kill yourself and it's just you're gone. It's at that point, you're gonzo garbanzo. Don't do that. That's the responsibility of the person that is still interested. It's so annoying to have someone that pretends to be over the relationship just for you to realize that they weren't and have spent the last 4 months mind-raping themselves over your friendship. Are you a girl? You sound like a girl. I do agree with you that here's the issue. I do agree with you. It's on the person who has the attraction to get over it and figure it out. But I do feel like sometimes the other side can, I'm a guy, but I've had this happen to me twice. Oh, I do feel like sometimes the other side can run a little bit wild with that, get a little bit retarded and take advantage of girls do this milking, sometimes emotional support out of guys that are still too attached. Guys will do this milking sex out of girls that are still too attached or whatever. Although arguably the other end of that exchange is also, well, actually, I guess depending on how you look at it, the other end of that exchange is actually even more manipulative because they're the ones weaponizing their emotional support or sexual proclivity to try to get something else out of you. But I don't know. Just, you know what? Listen, never mind. I agree with you. It is on the person with the feelings to figure it out. Fuck them. True. Do you ever worry about a girl trying to date you for money or baby trap you? No, I think the communities that I run in and my demeanor, I don't think I attract those types of people. I think it's like a very particular type of guy that attracts those types of people. Are you just quick socially if your hobbies slash interests are overwhelmingly solo endeavors, i.e. IT, networking, finance, writing, etc. Ask for a friend. I mean, you're not cooked. You just will never have any relationships. So it just depends on what you mean by cooked. Oh. Have you watched Obsession yet? For me, that movie, it's kind of like, you know, in Saving Private Ryan, they say that there were war vets that walked out in the first 10 minutes of that movie. Attractive women are just children.
Attractive woman.
Uh-oh.
This is a conventionally attractive woman. Big eyes, small nose, no wrinkles. This is a conventionally attractive woman. Big eyes.
Okay. I don't know if this is even like a human or like a CGI composite, but okay, it's something. Okay.
Eyes, small nose, no wrinkles, and hairless. This is a child who also has big eyes, a small nose, zero wrinkles, and is hairless. Did you know there's an extremely popular makeup trend in China called Yo Tai Zhuang, which directly translates to childlike makeup? This style is characterized by the desire to look as young as possible, and makeup companies would even ride the trend by naming their products Ying Er Zhi Jie Mao, which translates to baby straight lashes. Even kids don't satisfy them anymore. They want straight up infant feature. The selling point of a lot of current makeup products is the fact that they can mimic the look of a child, or in this case, infants. A quick Google search would reveal that anytime a girl changes her nose during a makeup routine, she's very likely going to try and make it smaller instead of bigger. Notice how basically every makeup action women take, which is changing our faces to imitate the ones of children, most do it subconsciously. This trend also isn't unique to China, it's everywhere. The beauty standard for women is to be childlike. Take eagle makeup, for example. The thick eyeliner, chunky lashes, and strategically placed nose contour all result in a more childlike appearance. Obviously, I'm not saying these makeup styles or makeup in general are inherently bad, and the purpose of this video is not in any way to hate on current makeup trends. I just wanted to point out the infantilizing reality of female self-expression. Well, women tend to have smaller noses and larger eyes anyways, so point. Well, yes, that is true. However, society's preferences are much more extreme than what the average woman has. For example, in this study, where people's faces were photoshopped to make different features, such as their eyes or nose, larger or smaller, nearly half of the participants found enlarged eyes more attractive, and over 64% found a reduced nose size more attractive.
That might be true, but one thing you have to be careful of is there's going to be an overlap between, like, good features and then childlike features, right? Like, I would say in general, everybody probably likes smoother, softer skin, like on men or women. That's also like a childlike feature too. There are definitely guys that gravitate towards like a creepy thing for women, but I don't know if somebody can link this study or whatever. I feel like that when you poll guys and when you give them a whole bunch of pictures and you ask them to on the aggregate, like, or not on the aggregate, individual, like, rate the attractiveness, that on the aggregate, men tend to find like 24-year-old women like are the peak attraction thing or whatever when it comes to fuckability or something. I've heard a couple women say they don't like men with soft skin. No, you haven't. You've heard men say that women say that. I promise you, you've never heard a woman say that in your life. Or if you have, it's a weird kink or fetish they have. 1,000,000,000%, I promise you. It's like 24 to 25, yes. Yeah, I would have to find that study because I could be repeating like a fucking old wives' tale, but I will say that does come into play when we talk about shaving. Some guys are very weird about that shit. I only like it bald. Yeah, that can be kind of weird for sure. Here's the weirdest thing in the world, okay? Not to get too sexual, but men that have I would say you are a pedophile if you have a preference for a woman being shaved or waxed, but you don't even like go down on women. I think you're a pedophile. That's just why the fuck would you care otherwise? I just think that's weird. I don't know, I don't get it, that's just the weirdest thing in the world to me.
Well, a woman has less body hair anyways. It's not rocket science, it's natural. Yes, that's true, but what's your reaction to seeing a woman with unshaven armpits? You'll probably get caught off guard and then feel disgusted, because believe it or not, but women have armpit hair. There's nothing natural about shaving every inch of our bodies. Any girl over the age of 12 is going to have some body hair, and not a single woman I know in real life doesn't shave their armpits. It's very fascinating how the obsession with shaving started so razor companies could sell more products. Even non-fictional movies that focus on historical accuracy all shave their women. Some of these purposefully adding violent scenes of rape or torture for increased realism, but the unshaven armpit is yet to be seen. Lastly, wrinkles. Aging naturally, and God forbid, having some wrinkles is the worst crime a woman can commit. The moment one appears, the society criticizes the woman, bullying her into either hating her appearance or getting plastic surgery. The most common forms of cosmetic procedures are Botox and fillers, whether that be forehead Botox or lip filler. They both exist to replicate a more youthful appearance. Filler mimics the look of firm, full skin, and a popular choice is lip filler, which directly reduces the size of the philtrum and thickens the lips. Now, you might say, some people have always had thin lips, even as a child. However, every lip follows a trend where it gets thinner and loses volume as we age. This is due to collagen loss. Collagen is an abundant protein that gives skin their firmness and lips their fullness, and over time, our ability to produce collagen, decreases, as shown in the study.
I also don't think it's a coincidence that men prefer really skinny women, oftentimes underweight, as well as things including a tiny waist, non-sagging boobs, and I've always wondered why sagging boobs is seen as a huge issue while they're completely natural and practically not preventable, but when men age, they're seen as silver foxes, fine wine, and adding to the value, whereas when a woman ages, they're seen as losing value and letting go of herself.
The glorification of these standards represent a prepubescent body. The estimated value of female weight loss market today is worth hundreds of billions, not millions, billion. Infantilization in fashion is more of a nuanced topic. While I'm all for unfiltered self-expression, it's ignorant to say female fashion takes no inspiration from child fashion. Things like bows, baby doll dresses, knee socks, and pigtails all fall under this category.
I kind of think the problem is, I think this woman is probably a little bit too on the Freud, no, not Freud. Fuck, what do you call them? Femcel, maybe, side for me. There is like a lot of weird crossover, though. The thing that sucks, though, about patriarchy, the thing that sucks about the patriarchal stuff is that a lot of these standards are weird and they end up getting reinforced by men and unfortunately by women. Like, here's the thing. Obviously, we don't want to be looking at like little girls' tits, but I feel like it's weird that little girls and little boys wear drastically different swimsuits. That does feel weird to me sometimes. Especially like when you get like 3-year-olds in two pieces and it's like, but why? How come? When I think of like a woman, I like it when a woman is in a bikini because I like to see as much of her leg and thigh as possible. I think it's fucking hot. But like, why do I need to see like, why does a 2-year-old or 3-year-old have to have their thighs? I just don't understand. Because I think that if you were to take like a 3-year-old boy down like to the pool or down to the lake or the beach or whatever, and he was in a Speedo, everybody would look at you like, we're going to kill you. You need to get the fuck out. You're disgusting. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why is your little boy in a fucking Speedo? But if you bring a 3-year-old girl down in a 2-piece, oh my God, that's so cute. That's kind of weird. I think it's a little weird. It doesn't feel immediately weird. But if you dwell on these thoughts a little bit and you start to, there's a whole bunch of these little things in society where it's like, I don't know, man. Why do little boys and little girls have to wear drastically different swimsuits? I mean, it doesn't really matter that much functionally, right? And then if we do need to cover the boobies of little girls, I guess, because we feel like it's improper, even though they haven't developed tits yet or whatever. Like, why 2 pieces? Do we need to see their, little 3-year-old bellies? Is that like important or... I don't know, man. I feel like it's a little weird. I feel like it's kind of strange.
I find dozens of videos online of women saying repeatedly how they get tipped more when they wear pigtails to work. Kind of going off topic here, but attractive personality traits expected from women include kindness, softness, shyness, playfulness, empathy, vulnerability, as well as purity. These traits have an uncanny resemblance to traits also found in children. Purity culture as a whole focuses on innocence and abstinence. When a woman willingly has sex, it's seen as taboo, impure, and punishable, while the polar opposite exists for men. Having sex is seen as an accomplishment, dominance, and men often get social praise for it. Misogynistic phrases such as the flower exists, everything associated with sex as well as reproductive organs and features of the feminine, is shameful. A woman's first time is upheld as highly important and a measure of morality and purity. In my opinion, the focus on purity is to maintain the childlike image and innocence of a woman.
Women are also rewarded for sounding childlike. Women are often expected to speak in a rising intonation, to finish sentences in a breathy way, as well as to talk in a high-pitched voice overall. Girlhood is...
Like, some of these are true, but I think she's fixated a little bit too much on the pedophile shit. She probably just turned 29, and I'm just kidding. That was sex. I shouldn't even make that joke. That was dumb. But I think she's a little too fixated. But, like, there's more truth to what she's saying than not, especially depending on the cultures or subcultures you get into, where the men are strangely fixated. Wait, fuck, do I really want to get into baby shit right now? I'm sorry. I disagree on the 2-piece thing, specifically because when your niece loads up her diaper, a 1-piece sounds like a fucking nightmare. 1-pieces are easier than 2-pieces in my experience. I have a lot of baby experience. Not like that, Connor, because usually for children's 1-pieces, there's usually a button at the bottom that you just unsnap, and then it's easy to deal with. Okay, that's the fashion problem. A lot of fashion is defined by what the other gender finds attractive, and then that's sanitized and purified and repackaged in a non-sexual sense. It's stupid. Maybe. I feel like it's all packaged just based on what men find attractive, but maybe not. Maybe I'm just a hater. I see where you're coming from. I think it just requires the kind of unmentionable understanding of how many pedos are probably among us. When you start to get into why is it like this, the conversation becomes uncomfortable because people project their own attraction onto you for asking a question. Maybe. I still think that without that one guy phrased it really well with the Epstein shit, I think that pedophiles are the biggest victims in our society. because I think that men, normal men, will offload a whole bunch of historically and even some contemporarily abhorrent behavior onto pedophiles and pretend it's just them, when a lot of it has been like a male patriarchy thing that has persisted for a long time. Like, I think the majority, like, I think that the, like, I've said this before, I think that the main takeaway of the Epstein story was that powerful men will utilize their positions to fly young women around, fuck the shit out of them when they can, and then use that for them as a roadblock to advance them in their careers. But that's not very salacious, and it's kind of an indictment on male behavior in general, so it's way more salacious to say, I think one of them was 15, so it was all pedophile stuff, and that has nothing to do with ordinary men. Now I'm going to watch another Hollywood movie where there's a 55-year-old male actor married to a 23-year-old woman. But who knows? I think the subject is interesting to think about, and we can be like, that's weird, but when it becomes a way to attack guys for preferences they have been indoctrinated with, it's lame. I mean, I do agree with that. To some extent, the issue is that there's an uncomfortable thing where there's a certain system in society that benefits a certain group, but the people that are inheriting the benefits didn't necessarily choose it, but they are benefiting from it. But then they'll get attacked with it by the group that's kind of being fucked over by it. But that group that's being fucked over by it also plays into it because they kind of have to play the game, right? Like, imagine that there was a system at work where if you wanted to advance in your career, you had to come into work with a big yellow postcard. And imagine there's like a whole system around like drawing the coolest postcards, and then your bosses would collect postcards to advance people, and all of this happens. Like, at some point, somebody that like just doesn't have as much yellow ink at home or doesn't have as many postcards is going to feel salty, and then they're going to come in and they're going to start shitting on the higher ups who are all benefiting from the postcard culture because they get to collect all these postcards. And maybe there's actually legitimately some issues with like collecting a lot of postcards. Like, it's hard to store all of them. So, you know, patriarchy, whatever, you know, men go to prison more, they have more suicidal issues, they have other, you know, during COVID we worked more than the women counterparts who got to go to school, blah blah, right? There are male issues related to patriarchy, right? So now you start to feel salty. It's like, okay, well, hold on, I didn't choose this yellow postcard system. I do see that I have some benefits, but it's not like I chose it. And you motherfuckers have been bringing the yellow postcards into school and or into the workplace or whatever to get, you know, promoted or pass your test or whatever the fuck. So you guys are all playing into it, and then I'm playing into it, and then I do have ups and downs from it, but you have ups and downs from it, but now you're attacking me exclusively. So like, I see how it's all just like, fuck, we just need to nuke everything and start over, you know? That's all I'm saying. But what are you gonna do? Who cares? Just nuke it all. How is it in Sweden compared to NA? Sweden was way more like chill on everything, but to allow, I don't know if I just felt really American or whatever, but I was uncomfortable. I want to say there were times when my ex's sister would come out in like a fucking like a G-string, and we're just like hanging out with like the family, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, of age. This is an of age person, but for everybody was just like kind of whatever. I feel like in my household, I was just like, holy shit. But I don't know if that's like a normal Swedish thing. They also have like a lot of unisex bathrooms. Most of the time, half the time, where you just like go in and there's a bunch of like doors on both sides, and it's just, you could go into a toilet and it wasn't a big deal. This was Stockholm though. I'm sure if you get further north, people get weirder. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. In America, we have kind of weird. Your gender criticism and stuff stayed good, but your race-based takes have gotten worse. Why? Which race-based take do you not like? The problem with racial stuff is that it's just all of it is like, all of it is so complicated and so layered and so bullshit and so nuanced and so retarded. And then at every single layer, at every single level of these talks, you have bad actors or retards on both sides. So it's like just impossible. Like, I think, I don't know if we talked about this before, that Chevalier Layer, whatever the fuck, however you pronounce her name, has some tweet about colonizer women or whatever. And it's like, it feels lame if you're a majority race person, you're like a white person, and people just shit on you, and it's like, okay to shit on white people. Like, that does feel kind of lame. But, you know, in certain contexts, this is why safe spaces are important, so you can talk about shit without, you know, having to offend somebody, you know, like a black person here. It also feels weird when the men in your ethnic group, when like one of the biggest social markers of success is for them to date white women. Oftentimes, I'm not pointing to anything in particular or whatever, but like, oftentimes you will have like a beautiful black queen and a mid-as-fuck white woman, and the mid-white woman is like a better status symbol sometimes even than like your beautiful Nubian princess, okay? And it's like, the fuck is going on here? So like, I'm not saying that she had it, her heart was in a good place when she wrote that colonizer tweet. She might be fucking retarded or whatever. Honest to God, looking at her, she does look very attractive. And I don't know if she's had these issues or if she's virtue signaling as a college kid. But like, there's like a whole other layer of like colorism where you have lighter skinned people who get preferential treatment from the majority white group to the darker skinned people who get way different treatment. Like sometimes your lived experience, there's like the card of like colors where you go from a light skinned like Southeast Asian to a dark skinned one. You go from like being an exotic princess to like a disgusting, filthy foreigner in like three shades of brown. It might be like a big tan on a weekend to now you're trash. So there's like, it's just so, it's so much. It's, I'm just, let me just say this. Oh, God, I'm glad to be white. Oh, and a man. I don't have to worry about any of this shit. Who cares? That's all I'm saying. Snow bunnies forever. I'm just kidding. Stop. You're kind of fucked with the revenge porn from being a man, though, right? For, I mean, like, that's a thing that would fuck me, sure. Everybody gets fucked in different ways. Like, I have a lot of big systems working against me right now, though, which is why I'm fucked, more so than being, like, a white man. But, like all else equal, though, if I was a woman, and, like, there were videos of, like, me, you know, fucking five other dudes that got leaked on the internet, even, like, heterosexual, like, assuming, like, woman male, I don't know, man. That might be a worse... I don't know, man. That would, it's a whole, it's just a whole, everything is just, everything is weird. What are you going to do? The horror comments would be nonstop. A little bit, yeah. Like, technically, nobody actually attacks me for, like, having sex. Well, except for with guys, because dick sex is the only sex that's, like, degrading to you or whatever. Yeah, so I don't actually get attacked for that. They try to attack me on other levels, like saying I was, like, a manipulator or revenge porn or whatever bullshit, right? Whereas if I was a woman, it basically, let me put it this way. If I was a woman, every single criticizer of me would sound like Connor. They would all be that kind of person. You fucking whore. You fucking whore. Why can't you just get a fucking husband? What's with girls not liking bi dudes? I think it's a red pill myth. I think women tend to appreciate conservatively or masculine demeanors, like masculine features. And the impression for bi men is generally that they'll just be very effeminate. And I think that generally speaking, women don't gravitate towards men that have more effeminate demeanors. So when they think bi man, or especially gay man, they think of man with an effeminate demeanor. Because like when you think of like I've never watched this movie, but like my guess is like Brokeback Mountain are these people, like all of those gay dudes that women like fucking obsess over. They all are like fairly masculine, masculinely defined, right? Like they're the way that they act and everything is like fairly masculine. You wouldn't look at them immediately and think, oh, that's like a twink bottom boy or something, you know? Aren't black women extremely homophobic? I mean, minorities tend to be a little bit behind, I don't know if you say behind or to the right of like white people or whatever on social issues, but my guess would be black men are probably far more homophobic than black women, would be my guess. How else did gay guys get all of their culture, if not from siphoning it off of off of black women? It depends on your bubble, honestly. I'm pretty sure attraction to bi guys would track very well with how left you are in general. It might be bubbles. Like, I'm fully admitting it might be bubbles. But for generationally, for millennials, like, go up to any fucking conservative woman ever in your entire fucking life and bring up, like, did you ever, like, read or, like, write any fanfic or whatever growing up? And they all have, like, crazy fucking gay fantasy whatever shit. No, I don't know. That's, but maybe that's just bubbles. I don't know. I'm not sure, dude. Do you remember Harry Potter fan fictions? I feel like there was a whole world of millennial women that grew up reading and writing Draco, Harry, fucking Slash, or whatever. Jesus. What's more harmful if bi men are perceived to be hated by women or actually hated by women? Because it seems like the perception of social media is there. Do any bi men ever complain? I feel like the complaint about that is literally exclusively from straight men that are so homophobic, I would assume most of them are fucking themselves in the ass when they masturbate and then crying afterwards about it. I never in my entire fucking life have I ever, like, lost a woman or felt like a woman was turned off by. I mean, like, maybe they just wouldn't want to talk about it or whatever, but like, even after, not to call out any particular class of women or whatever, but like, when my fucking gay videos, like, that was probably some of the most DMs I got from other women in my entire fucking life. Like, I'm just like, again, it might be bubbles or different like communities or groups of people or whatever, but I don't know, are there bi men out there that complain like, man, I just can never get laid by any women because they are so homophobic? That just exclusively feels to me like a thing that super ultra straight men complain about or talk about because they have to sell their heterosexuality or their straightness as being so important to capturing female. I don't know. But who knows? I don't know. Your subreddit was retarded. I got downvoted like crazy for saying that it was never okay to say the soft A N-word to black people. They tried to say in the late 90s / early 2000s that people were less PC to the point that you could call your black friends the soft A N-word as a term of endearment. I tried to explain that their black friends were just being nice to not start shit, but they definitely never appreciated that shit. So in the 90s and 2000s, I think that we were integrating a lot more like gay culture. You know, the AIDS stuff had been largely the huge panic about that was kind of getting left behind. And then like rappers and stuff were the gangster rap exploded. And then there was like more mainstream like rap infusion stuff. And you started to get more kind of like people melding together. And one of the ways that this played out was you would have groups of straight friends with a gay guy who would like clear all of them as being able to say fag. And then you would have like a group of like 90% white men with one black guy, maybe two, who would clear them as saying the N-word. So anytime you get a white guy that says some shit who's like, oh, dude, no, black guys were totally cool, like, you know, in our group of friends saying like the N-word. When you say group of friends saying the N-word, you mean you had eight white guys and one black dude who was like trying to be cool with the group or whatever, and then probably felt a little bit weird about it, but was like, oh, whatever, like, I know these guys aren't racist, so it's cool. That's probably what they were referring to. Straight men complain about women calling them gay constantly, though. Do they? Does this happen? Who? I guess? I don't know. Maybe. I feel like it's only men calling other men gay, but maybe. I don't know. But that might be a different bubble, different group thing. You got to understand, though, sometimes it's eight black kids to one white kid and they let him say it. Listen here. The nine white kids with the one black kid were abusing that one black kid to get their N-word pass, okay? They were extracting that N-word pass out of him unwillingly. The one white kid with nine black kids probably earned his right to say it, okay? In a friendly manner with a group of fellow black friends, okay? It's a different thing.
Yeah, hey.
Hi, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I was just listening to you talking about relationships and the man-woman thing. And yeah, I mean, you know that, like, beginning of the year, my wife left me, and it's, yeah, something that's given me time to reflect on. And I must be honest, a lot of your takes are spot on, and I hope the viewers are taking some of it in. Because it's sometimes hard for men to take responsibility, I think.
Damn, well, you make it sound like a fucking bummer there, okay?
No, well, I mean, it's something to be learned from, right? You know, when a relationship ends, like, why it ended, and, you know, your role in that, and also what wasn't your role, because that's sometimes you can put too much weight on yourself. It's been a real, like, because we were together 13 years, so, yeah, I'm going to have to be honest, like, Connor was pretty good in DMs with me about it, so I don't know why he's being such an arsehole since, but, because, of course, he's gone, you know, gone through something, well, I don't know, about similar, but also through a breakup. But no, initially I really took it as, like, I put all the weight on my shoulders because I saw my failings.
Sure.
And then it was more like, well, wait a minute. I can also see, like, people around me were like, wait a minute, you know, she's also not being perfect here. And that balance, I'm still trying to figure it out. Because, of course, for myself, for future relationships, I need to learn, you know, how I can be a better partner. And also some things that are just about compatibility, right, that you can't change too much, like the alone time, like needing time to be on your own.
Yeah. How old are you again?
I'm a bit older than you. That's all I'm going to say. I don't sure. know.
I was wondering when you're, you said you were together for 12 years. I was curious when you guys started dating.
Yeah, 13 years. Well, I met her in Istanbul on a bike trip. It's actually a super romantic story. Yeah, I was on a bike trip. We're at a shared, I don't know if you know couch surfing.
Yeah,
so we were at the same couch surfing place. And, you know, there was an instantaneous moment of, I'm sure you get it, you know, like this kind of sudden moment of attraction. And then, you know, when you have that moment of attraction to someone, it can either be kind of increased and enriched by their behavior, or it can just fade away because you realize you've got nothing in common with them. So it was more of the former. And she asked if I wanted to have a cup of tea, and we sat down, and she's a biologist, so she started talking about bees and had such an interesting understanding of Turkish culture. And, like, for me, that's a real turn on in a woman.
Sure. How old were you guys when you started, when you both first met each other?
In our 20s, like late 20s at that point.
Okay.
And both, like, traveling, but both, well, I didn't do my science degree. I'd only got my philosophy degree at that point.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, kind of intellectually minded. And, like, with the click was just crazy. And then I wrote to her a really long email. You know what my messages can be like. And, like, I didn't expect any reply. And then she replied with the same length of message. And it was almost like this for a year. The bond was really something special. And eventually she came to visit me when I was living in Amsterdam, and that's actually how I ended up moving to Germany.
Gotcha.
So there was a lot that was good about the relationship, but Yeah, then some of our differences, I don't know, I can be kind of messy, if I'm honest. Uh-huh. That is something I should always work on. And not to frustrate you, but probably undiagnosed ADHD, to be really, really honest, which is obviously hard to live with. But yeah, it's also kind of, you know, we've had to, it's been amicable, like the breakup as well. And just recently, we're moving stuff out of our old place. And, you know, she saw me just, I just was standing there thinking, because I have these kind of thinking moments. I could be doing my physics, composing a piece of music. I don't know, like, I do a lot of stuff in my head. And in that moment, I'm just kind of sometimes just dazing into the abyss. And she was like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with you? And I explained what was going on in my head. And she said, do you not think that that's bad? And actually, it's just part of who I am. And I'm kind of happy about that. Like, it's part of my creativity. And that was a moment I realized that there was definitely an incompatibility issue. So, you know, and if that's the case, then so be it. But so it's really hard to see, like, what's your responsibility as... You know, and there's, you know, these kind of male things, like I've moved to another town again 4 years ago. I didn't make a proper friendship group. I just had my colleagues at work. And she saw that, and that's really unattractive in a male. Like, if there's one piece of advice I give to people is when you move to the place where your partner lives, you know, you've got to make your own friends. You've got to be social, because it's also unattractive to be not socializing so much. But there are just some, yeah, it's just like your responsibility, and then... Also, some things like her being frustrated or inconsiderate about my needs. Mm-hmm. I was definitely there. Not communicating on her part. She ended up running off with a former best friend of mine.
Jesus.
Yeah, kind of crazy. And he... I mean, I don't think there's anything... Well, it depends what like romantic is. You know, nothing physical going on beforehand, I don't think. But, you know, clearly there was a lack of communication on her part. Because we probably should have been speaking about this at some point, but yeah, there's a lot I can see of my own role, and you've brought some of the stuff up on the stream, and as I say, people should listen to you when you talk about, you know, kind of weaknesses that men can have in relationships, and yeah, at the same time, don't put all the weight of responsibility on your shoulders. I mean, you know all this, I think. You seem pretty wise when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Because of my great media takes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but it's probably through experience as well, right? I mean,
yeah, I make all the mistakes so other people don't have to.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important that we share these things because, you know, we all go through this in life, and there's more to life than relationships, but at the same time, you know, they can be quite special, and it's good to take care of them when you can. So yeah, I hope you don't mind me coming on. I just say it seemed to make sense, you know, and I'm a very open person, so I really don't care, you know, whoever listens to this. And well, I hope people, you know, can take heed of it and, you know, find that balance of taking responsibility, but not too much responsibility, but that balance. And yeah, it's been an interesting year so far. It's also been quite good for me in some ways too. So,
well, hopefully things are looking up, or we'll look up more for your social life and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do more music. I'm going to a concert tomorrow, and yeah, I want to form a band this year, which is something I haven't done for a long time. Probably like a mixture of Afrobeat and some funk and stuff like that. So.
Cool. Yeah. You're with Germans, I'm assuming. You're still in Germany, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's like I'm still in Leipzig. So, well, I've got a Brazilian friend of mine. We had a band together playing like a mixture of kind of Gambian music and some other influences. Mm-hmm. He's super busy with other bands. He's a really, really gifted musician. So, yeah, he's already pretty polygamous when it comes to his bands. But it's kind of a part of a community. So there's quite a few other people, mainly from Latin America. And so, yeah, that's another reason to go tomorrow, just to kind of make more contacts and... yeah, get to these jam sessions and such like. And it's, it's opened that door, because before it was a bit more difficult to do stuff like that. So one door closes, another opens. So.
Well, damn, hopefully it turns out all Gucci, yeah?
By the way, when you start the stream and there's an intro music, is that your music?
Yeah, just pick some random shit on my Spotify.
Okay, cool, cool. Oh, but I mean, that's not you playing.
Oh no, Jesus Christ, no.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think probably the audience want to hear you play a bit more often, because I think you once said music's really important to you because it's something for yourself. Like, it's something, I can't remember how to paraphrase it, but it was something that you, no one could like take it from you, I think.
Yeah, it's like a personal thing you do on your own for your own enjoyment. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you still play quite often?
Yeah, it's usually off stream.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah. And what kind of music do you like to play?
I don't know. I usually just smash my keyboard for a little bit, but just like random jammy improv-y stuff.
Cool, cool. Like a kind of mixture of like more jazzy or poppy stuff, or
we can call it jazzy stuff, I guess. But you like just random chords with lots of extensions and contemporary-ish sounding. I don't even know how you would describe it, but you know.
Yeah, it'd be good to hear some of that at some point.
There's a SoundCloud out there somewhere. My piano. My composition challenges. there.
Okay, cool, cool. Okay, I'm going to check that out. There's also a SoundCloud of mine from a long time ago.
Well, what is it for people looking for it in chat?
Oh, gee, this is. It would be my full name, actually. I suppose I could give my full name, but.
Okay, maybe not until after my court case is done, so people aren't getting stalked on my stream.
But yeah, I mean, I'll give it to you, and then look at it. So I need to also, I need to make some more music. I'm making music all the time at the moment, so when that's shared, I'll have it. I may have put it on my website. So
okay,
yeah, cool. Yeah, maybe at some point, like we could, if you're recording some music and putting it down, then I'll be up for adding layers. I mainly play guitar, play bass as well a bit, and yeah. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind me jumping on. I could also talk about the debates recently, but yeah, that maybe for another day.
Yeah, but probably. I'm going off soon, but yeah, we watched some of it. I think we watched half of it, yeah.
Oh, really? Cool, cool. What, the more recent one on populism?
Yeah, with Getty and Lonerbox and Pisco, I think?
And
no.
Soypeel. Pisco was the week before.
Yeah.
It's been, I have to think of like how you are in debates. Like, it looks so easy, if I'm honest, when you watch them, and then when you're in the midst of it and you're thinking about which like weakness to pick at and examples to bring up, it's so much parallel processing going on at the time. There's a lot of skill to that. It's
Yeah, you should take notes while debating. I used to a lot. Like, I would just write it down, and I probably still would, depending. I do sometimes. I haven't debated in a while, but yeah, it's good to just have a notepad or just type stuff out as you're listening. Yeah?
Right, right. Because I have what I call my war plan, but I don't actually actively write at the same time. That's probably good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool. Yeah, it's pretty late here, so I should probably head to bed. But thanks for your time, Destiny, actually. I say I appreciate your takes.
Yeah.
And other people should too. So.
Have fun, be careful, sleep tight.
Cool. Yeah. Enjoy your gaming.
Bye. Yep.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.